Blog Talk Radio.
Cooper Live, School's Out. School's Out, the song was first recorded as a title track to Alice Cooper's fifth album. It was released in the album's only single on April 26, 1972. It's regarded as the band's signature song and reached number 7 by the Billboard's Hot 100, number 3 in the Canadian Hot 100, number 2 in Ireland, and reached the top of the UK singles chart. School's Out. Welcome back, my friends. Oh, it's a Hatterday Saturday. I'm Jay Hatter. Hold on, where's my notes? I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the next hour, 2 hours or so. How are you? This is Can't Read My Writing. I'll start it. We'll just wing it then. With me is the Wizard of Oz, man from Down Under. Man from Snowy River, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P. from Australia.
Hey! Here you go, Heather.
Yeah. It surprised me that it was put to start. I didn't know she was
going
to do that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've got to say, because Alan Cooper talks about school being out for summer, yeah? School's out for summer. Well, my high school got bulldozed. It got turned into houses. So my school's out for summer, winter, autumn, and everywhere in between.
You got... How did that go?
Well, there's no school left. It got bulldozed.
Oh, okay.
It got bulldozed, Hannah.
So all that's left is Facebook.
So there you go. So it's most people think about their school when they go back, and you know they get reunions and all that sort of stuff at school. Well, we have no school to have reunions at. So it's gone.
Oh, wow.
Gone skin.
Wow.
So there you go.
Now, is your time? Well, you didn't have any. Does normal kids in Australia going to school? Do they take off in the winter? Our winter, because it's better.
No. We just have the normal, because we don't get really really cold. We just get bloody hot. Yeah, so we get hot in summer. So we have around December and all of January off. But then that's our big break. Apart from that, we just run through as normal. So we take, as I said, half of December and all of January off, because that's when it gets really, really hot here.
That's like our July and August.
Yeah. Hi, Deb.
Which our kids are off during that time period.
Same principle, because you're off in the hot of summer.
Well, it was much hotter in July and August back in the day. It's like the hottest days this anymore is in September, late August. It used to be July. August.
But the thing about having school bulldozed, Hatter, is that there's all the memorabilia is not in one place anymore. It's all spread out. So we have a Facebook group. And that's as close as we have for my school getting together, that collects all the stuff in terms of memorabilia.
Did you have big classes?
We did. We did. Being a public sort of high school, we had, I don't know, you tell me, about 30 in each class was the standard.
Oh, yeah, that's maximum. Yeah, that's a big class.
Yeah, so we had 30, and then it wasn't until we got into the final couple of years that we had a couple of school classes that were smaller. Like our chemistry year 12 class was only about 15, and that was really unusual.
About how many in your graduating class?
We had about 130 in year 12. So we had about five classes. Yeah. So, but of those, I think it was roughly out of the 130, I think about 25 of us went to university, and the rest went out directly from school.
Ah, looking for gold, probably.
Well, they could have been looking for gold. More likely, they ended up as plumbers and butchers, had it. I've got no idea. I went to the first reunion and found that most turned into butchers.
Butchers Union is strong. Oh, I forgot? And with us also is Deborah Lee. She hangs out in the back, does all the hard work, so we could sit out here and look pretty. Hi, Deb.
Hey.
So we're going to give this a shot. I'm still on post-surgical medication. So I'm going to try this.
So we've got to give you a patter. That's what you're telling us. You're not allowed to drive a car, but you're allowed to drive a race.
Disclaimer. That's all.
Yeah, well, I'm
responsible.
Just saying. No, I'm just saying, do not use any machinery, I think is what the drugs say.
No heavy lifting.
Yep.
Yeah, heavy equipment.
Yeah, no machinery, no heavy lifting, but you are allowed to run a radio station. There's something wrong with that somewhere.
Yeah, and don't go swimming.
And of course. Well, not while you're running the radio station anyway. So
well, that's
wouldn't want you to drown after you eat.
Well, no.
So we had a prompt.
We do.
My choice, and it was school.
It was
school, whatever it means to you. And I thought it'd be easy for me to write to, and I struggled all week. Put it down, put it up, put it down. And I ended up with a little brevity.
I'm nothing wrong
with
that, Adam. Brevity's good. Do you want to kick it up? Do you want me to put it on the board?
Yeah, sure.
Or did you want me to? Because I can read it if you like.
I wasn't waiting for that, but I can do that.
You have said. I'm happy to read it for you if you want.
No, I'm going to give it a shot. I've got my two glasses on.
Okay. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, they work really well for the introduction, so that's okay. It all works for me, so that's all good. It's up on the board, Hatter.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, at least
this
one's
not
his own handwriting, or we'd be here all night.
Well, that's possible.
It's called I Don't Hear Very Well. And there's a picture of the march rabbit. That's a rabbit. Got his hat. It goes like this. I was schooled as a youngster, again in my teens. I remember teachers that liked me, or so it might seem. There's a memory of high school and then the girls I loved before, and in college, it all changed for me. My grades were rather poor. I got schooled by my mother when she knew I had done bad. My father only schooled me if he looked to him so sad. Schooling comes from in many forms. Just ask my wife, she'll tell. But the only schooling that I need, I don't hear very well. You know,
well,
I didn't hear you, dear. What?
No. In fairness, Hatter, I have to say that sometimes not hearing very well when the life partner's involved can be a good thing, just quietly. Sometimes it's not good. Sometimes it can be good. And It may well be in your situation that it might be good. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't hear you.
Exactly. Just straight through. It's probably good. Deb, did you want to say something about Hatter's piece?
Yeah, I liked it in the first stanza where he says, I remember teachers that liked me, or so it might seem. That made me giggle. There's a memory of high school and the girls I loved before in college, and it all changed for me. My grades were rather poor, and then that can send somebody's mind all over the place wondering why your grades became poor if they don't know you, to be able to answer that themselves. excuse me. And I think my favorite part is I got schooled by my mother when she knew what I'd done. I'd done bad. Moms have a way of just giving you that look. And
yes.
You just don't want to do bad. And I can picture
mine
with that look on her face. So I thought this came out great, Hatter.
Yeah, the reason my grades were rather poor is because it rhymed. My grades were never poor.
I just thought maybe they went down a little with the car.
No, I'm just going to set it straight. Yeah, I know. That's cool. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Speaking of,
on a side note, I'm not going to say too many things on the air because I don't know who he said anything to, but I know that I'd like to tell Wayne that I hope he has a speedy recovery and that everything works out, and make sure you give me an update on what the hospital said.
Cool. Get fed up, Wayne.
I'm a lawyer.
Yep.
You wish.
Okay, Hatter. Can I do a poem next? I've sprung one on you. You ready?
No, absolutely.
This is an
absolutely.
Old school poem. It's an old school poem.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. This is a single balloon. It's up on the board now. It actually is to do with school. It's quite fair. And it goes a bit like this. There is something large and permanent about a school, as if somehow grander than the old buildings around. Still, our school was sold off for housing, the area of Banyur, as were some of the more expensive blocks to be found. And when I left school, the sage was becoming clear. There were areas that were left to graffiti and dry grass. But 4 years later, those sections grown by Wings Tear, the whole buildings of what I recalled, instead left to pass. So just a small crowd today as the place closed one last time, and we are standing around where all the buses looped around, given the balloon to release into a light breeze from a line, said goodbye as bobbed away years, with hopes all round. In poem. True story.
Given a balloon to release. Oh.
Given a balloon, yep. Well, you know, probably all the current students are probably about 350 then. Might have been 50 old students showed up, were all given a balloon and said, a few of the people said, oh, you know, goodbye and let the balloons go, and that was it. Wasn't even a sausage.
Oh. Mine probably get tangled in an electrical line.
Anyway,
that balloon,
the
image of that balloon is so sad.
I just sort of went back expecting some hoopla there, and I got a single balloon, and there it went. That was it.
That's like working for someone for a lifetime and getting a watch.
A little bit like that. Well, you know, getting a sort of
but
swatch
more
watch
profound because
doesn't
it was like childhood thing.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting because, as I said, it was just it didn't last long after I left, and I came back for the farewell because I thought, well, you should go back to see the school guys, and it, you know, it really was just, you know, it was a nothing really. It was really quite strange. I remember it still very well because I just thought to myself, well, you know, there's going to be something. And then I showed up and it was a whole lot of not very much. Strange.
Really sad.
Yes. So I remember it well. I was at university at the time and I remember it well. So anyways. Now, Hannah, that was not the poem that I was going to do. That was just another one. I have the original one that I was going to do. And this was the one when I said that this was how I go about writing. Yeah?
Okay.
And it was esoteric. Remember that? This is esoteric for most people. Yeah, I'm putting it up now. Most people wouldn't be esoteric. And it is called Of Queens and Rails. So you think? You probably think it's strange. That's what one of the people said. Anyway, here we go. Of Queens and Rails. And it goes a little bit like this. A hamster is in a wheel below a rich turquoise sky. Bullets of learning steel, glass tumbler finders dry. Deep cut of hunger pains, revolving miss in between. Over why a leader feigns with memories of Queen. Guitars duel in a concert. Hand ready, so can mark. Locomotives on walls do flirt. Calls of smoke or shark. Mercury drips here too slow, steel ribbons past a track. At school balls did throw, window broken out the back. There drops out a rhyme, in the first line, then to next. With the flipping of a dime, look down, and I find text. End poem.
Oh, wow. A hamster is in the wheel.
Creative process by me. Makes absolutely no sense. Well, that's how my creative process works. Makes absolutely no sense to me, so might as well make no sense to anyone.
Yeah.
I've got no idea how
it
was.
A Queen. Sort of Beatle-ish.
It's a little.
Memories of the Queen.
A little bit of 2/4 going on.
Bit.
So, anyway. Strange. But anyway, that's what came out. Figure. Came out. I do like the rhyme, though.
Mercury drips here too slow. Still living is past the fact. Okay, well, I'm sorry.
I said I like the rhyme. I like the flow. got no idea how the poem works, but I because it is, it's kind of strange.
You know what?
Sometimes
making no sense is a good thing.
I agree. Occasionally it sort of works, but it's, as I said, strange poems.
It's got definitely got some fairy tale flavor to it. You know,
it does.
The thing.
It does.
And
it's different.
And flipping over down, yeah. Nicely done, my friend.
It's different.
So.
Adam, it's different.
So, what was I doing? Oh,
I think we're going to flip Deb.
All right. Ready?
We're going to what, Deb?
We're going to flip across to Deb, I said.
All right.
Well, yeah.
I do have a question, because I remember a poem recently where there was a mouse in a corridor or in an empty room.
Yeah.
And today
yeah.
we have the poem with the hamster and the wheel, and I'm
yeah.
wondering what's up with the rodent references.
No,
we'll see. It was you're absolutely right, Deb, because if you go back and have a look at about my last 5 or 10 poems, you'll find references to all of them in this poem.
Interesting.
Well, I thought that was part of the trick, you see. If you're going to do a poem about how you write, you might as well go back and look at the last set of poems and see what you wrote, you see.
No, I like how it's little bits and pieces, like the chaos might not make sense to everybody, but it sometimes it's one of those you had to be there things, and if you were, you see things. Otherwise, it triggers so many different visuals that people are probably like, whoa, you know. There drops out a rhyme in the first line, then the next, with the flipping of a dime, look down and I find text, and look up and you find topics for shows. So it's quirky, like you.
Thank you, Deb. It is quirky. And I'm most proud of the rhyme in this, because there are a couple. You know when you do rhymes and you think, that's fun. I'm very proud of the rhyme Mark and Rorschach. Because I don't think I've ever seen Rorschach rhymed before.
Me either. How about you, Hat?
I just realized this is my a new phone, so I don't have any of my things.
Functions. This is not good.
Well,
Adam,
I'm a little
app,
it'll go half things, yeah. So I'm doing one now because it's an important one. That's what I need. There it is. Oh, 23. Next year's already out. Are we on the air still? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're all good. Now, Deb, did you have a poem for today?
I had my poem, and I lost my poem, and they never come back right when you...
No,
yeah,
I hate that.
And I'm not even remotely trying to come up with it again. So I figured.
Okay.
And I don't really like anything I have that is obviously school. So I guess no.
No, that's okay. You found the setup?
Go ahead. I found it. National day this is today. Today, April 16th, Saturday, in the year of our Lord, 2022, it is National Auctioneer's Day, National Bean Counter Day, Bean Counter. We still got bean counters.
Yep.
Someday we'll free these people who have to count the bean. National Eggs Benedict Day. That's too bad. I love Eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict Day.
Health care. Wear your pajamas to work day. I see they put it on Saturday.
Never. Yeah, fair enough, too.
Yeah. National Orchid Day, that's what I'm saying. Didn't it do any of that?
Uh-huh.
Missed it.
There you go.
All right, now I need to be able to. Since today's basically over, we're going to look at tomorrow real quick.
Oh, what's on the tomorrow's stuff?
Tomorrow's damn Easter. Easter.
It is Easter. Absolutely.
Yes.
Without the chocolate. Yes.
It is also International Bat Appreciation Day. National Cheese Ball Day.
Underappreciated.
Wait,
yes.
Bat like the animal?
Bat like the animal.
You take it as you say it. I mean, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. For a minute there, I pictured a baseball bat.
No, I was thinking flying bat.
I'm thinking flying bats as well. Yep. Yep.
There's also National Crawfish.
Crawfish? Well, I like crawfish.
National Ellis Island Family History Day. Look up your genealogy. Yeah.
Wow.
National Haiku Poetry Day.
Well, there's a form of poetry. Yeah.
We'll stick with Easter, maybe Cheese Ball Day.
Cheese Ball
Day. We can do that together. Cheese Ball Easter.
Yeah.
We can do that.
All right.
So that makes sense, Hatter. I was thinking for next week's show, we could do bat as a topic.
What's that? Cheese Ball Day?
We could do bat as a topic next time. Bats. Because there's little critters with bats, and then there's baseball bats and cricket bats and all those other bats.
Sure.
Yeah? So
sure.
We'll do bats. All right, that's cool. I think years ago, I might have done a shaped poem in the shape of a bat years ago. I have to go and find that. We're talking like 5, 6 years ago.
I got one with a vampire bat in it.
Well, there you go. That's perfect. That'll work well. All you have to do is hang that out to dry, and we've got a show.
And Batman.
Batman, exactly. I thought about that.
Batgirl, Yvonne Craig. She was a bathing suit model.
You could go there too, Hatter.
Wow.
You could go there too. So, Hatter, I'm thinking we have been very fortunate because you might recall the last show we got a audio production, not a poem, from We Are All Gonzo. And he's sent us another one for this week and one for next week as well, by the way. So I was going to put that poem on now and put it up on the board, and then we'll do a couple more.
I just realized that I only put the link there for the recording, I think. Or is that the poem?
Oh.
I'm running to look. Did you? I'm looking real quick. Hurry!
No,
okay, make sure.
I've got it up.
It is.
Okay, cool.
It is. I just panicked for a minute because I didn't remember grabbing the link. I only remember. Okay, never mind. It's all good.
Okay. So with the slight panic is now gone and receded. We are going with the piece up on the board for Gonzo and his quite remarkable work, and we'll see how we go.
The doors to the Crooked Creek Hay Bale Pub swung open with force, and in walked a lovely dove of a lass, carrying a sheathed sword in one hand, the other motioned for a glass.
What kind of fairy tale animal does a girl have to kiss to get a drink around here?
May I introduce myself? I'm Rumpelstiltskin, and this is Rumpelstiltskin.
It's a joke, creep. Not enough booze, not enough darkness.
No.
She sat at the bar and scoured the crowd, hoping to find the right person, but for now, she'd settle for the right beverage, she thought. The bard, busied by blaring bellows of fellow fairy tale mellows, wallows lost of another path, until he stared at the beauty, mustering the will to ask.
Why are you doing that? Stop. Stop doing that.
Me?
Stop narrating what you're doing and what I'm doing.
I'm sorry. I'm a bard. We play merry and entertain, you see.
Are you any good? After the night I've had, I could use a few songs to distract me.
Why, I'm worth my weight in gold, good lady. Gentlemen, over here. We have a customer. One, two, three. For one gold piece, I'll share my hair-raising tale of a girl so fair who wanted nothing overly rare. Just some one-on-one time with a special person in her life, her only friend. Instead, she was caught, found herself in the ties that bound her revenge.
Yeah, I think I heard something similar, but show me what you got, little man.
A story like no other you'll concede to me. Here's a dashing revenge of Sleeping Beauty.
Scarlet down, floated, swift flowing, wisped with each new skip, whistling herself the dandy tune while the morning sun fought the waning moon. Strolling and skipping, dense brush hid the danger, but she was always taught never to engage with a stranger.
Little girl, I need help looking for my dog made of candy.
What's your dog's name?
His name is I'm Safe. So just hold my hand and we'll walk around yelling out, I'm safe, you first.
Sturdily, her cane came up very quick, caught him dead center of his now blue biscuit.
Listen, creep, I got no time for your perverted ways. If I see you in my path in the future, I'll break more than yours.
Oh, I get it. Threat well received. I'm a creep indeed.
The pervert strolled across the plain, throbbing with pulsating pain. Less than a threat was a promise for sure, for none understood the girl under the hood was no regular girl strolling alone in the woods. The twists and twirls of her blonde curls held inside a mind of devious design, little Red Riding up to no good with desires to burn and bury the world. Continuing along, she kept whistling her song while skipping to and fro. Unaware, she had dropped a couple of items from her pack during her attack against the pedo. A cookie and note had drifted down from Red's coat and lightly fell to the ground. Fingers curled round with focused intention, delighted for what they had found. Unknown to Red burned a fury far greater, the kind that stirs into a purr or a growl beyond normal nature. Violent, fantastical dreams only violence seems to cure. Someone was watching Red stroll through the woods with eyes both fierce and demure.
See you soon, Red.
May I ask what that was?
That was almost. It was a remarkable sort of video, almost video, it felt like video, audio production of Never Sleep Again by We Are All Gonzo. And he brings along a cast of his family and friends and puts all the sound effects in and puts the music in, and it's just a whole little show all of its own, had it?
It's incredible. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. A couple parts to this. This is like a little audio series, and now we have to wait a whole week for part two.
I know.
Oh wow.
I know. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's beautifully written, and it just floats down the page. I was just looking for one line, actually, Deb. That played on the little Red Riding Hood, but it was just I just loved it as it was going through. But it was really good fun, and it's just got lots of clever wordplay there. If you listen to it, not just in the production, but just in the words. Under the hood was no regular girl strolling along in the woods. That's just really cute when you talk about.
Yeah, I was trying to find somewhere in there with the word fantabulous. I love that word, and it's just those little things, and the different voices. I'm always in awe. It's absolutely incredible what he does. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, with eyes both fierce and demure. I love that too. Isn't that a great description? Fierce and demure. I really like that. Anyway, no, just some brilliant words and magnificent production and really a labour of love, Gonzo. And your voice is magnificent as well, so I should say that, for doing anything to do with radio. So just privileged to have you on and keep them coming. It's just fantastic. Yeah.
That was great. I didn't realise...
And
I was playing catch up.
I was going to ask Hatter if we had Ali joining us, but she has said, "Can somebody read her poem for her?" And so, that being the case, if you're happy, I will read it for her.
Oh, okay.
Okie dokie. We should tell everyone though that it's a special exception because she usually does come on a Saturday. She's just got something going on.
She does. It given that. She is normally here with us, but for all good reasons, I'm sure, she can't be with us. I am going to read your poem, Ali, and it is called A Place of Wonders, and it goes a little bit like this. People scream, bells ring. How am I supposed to process all this, let alone all at once? The naked eye, this may seem quite easy, but in case you didn't know, let me take you in on a little secret or two. I have autism and sensory processing disorder. They normally come hand in hand, at least for me. See, sometimes with my autism, I can't make out the words to say, you are too loud. And sometimes with SPD, the simplest of noises can hurt my ears. That girl standing in the classroom when the fire alarm goes off, yeah, she's in literal pain. Her ears hurt. That kid gripping your hand. They're scared, but they don't have the words to say it. The sudden change in routine that makes me upset. Why, you may ask. It's not that bad, you may say, but to me it is that bad. You see, as someone with autism, I live on consistency and plans. It's not being autistic or having sensory processing disorder, but I wouldn't get rid of either of them if I had a chance. Instead, I'd get rid of loud pencil sharpness and the stigma around these. Now I leave the reader with one question. If you had autism and SPD, what would you change in your life? End poem.
I'd get rid of the loud pencil sharpness and the stigma around them. That's
I hate automatic pencil sharpness. I think they're bloody awful things. We should just get rid of the damn things. You know, they make a horrible sound, and you might as well use a manual pencil sharpener, for God's sake. So I'm all up for getting rid of automatic pencil sharpeners, full stop.
Sounds like it's devouring. It definitely is a sobering sound.
Yes.
You can't ignore it.
Yes. No, it grinds away. It's a bit like I'm wondering if Ali gets the same sort of sense of those like those dough processing machines, you know, like the Kenwood mixer type things. I used to use that all the time because I used to make special bread, and they had a very distinctive sound, and I still remember it. And it's probably a little bit like the pencil sharpener. It has that really sort of has that sort of tone to it. So I think, you know, you certainly remember things that stick out and noises that sort of are a bit like the the nails going down the blackboard, and that's a bit like that.
Absolutely.
That's what I meant.
You know, I think another thing is if you just stand there within a minute, or actually within less than a minute, you can just push that pencil and it's gone. It's just gone. So you've got that horrible noise and then it disappears. And that is a scary thing on its own.
Yeah. And on a bigger scale, Deb, when I was back in one of my first jobs, I used to look after the timber areas, and they used to have these mobile wood chippers, and you'd feed a log into it and just get a bundle of chips at the other end, and goodness knows they made a noise.
The chipper,
The chipper, yeah.
They use them more than once in horror flicks to make a bloody mess. So, yeah.
I'm sure they would have. I mean, you know, it's a more than, you know, bloody sort of, you know, approach. But anyway, putting that all to one side, I'd like to thank Ali for putting her poem to us today and you know, as always, making us think, Deb, and making us think about a different perspective of things, making us think about routines, making us think about those things that we sort of take for granted that many people around us can't.
I think that her putting it out there really advocates for autism, and I love that she's got her trademark of leaving us with a question. I think it's really cute.
Well, I think from a structural perspective, it really helps Deb because she knows she's going to do that. And so oftentimes she puts the poem to reflect that question. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I think it's quite distinctive to her, and it's her way of doing things. But I think that I think it helps with the construction of the poem as well. So I think it's a really clever thing to do from a number of different reasons.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you, Ali, for writing. I find it hard to believe the quality of her way she writes. Very observative.
It is. It is, absolutely. Yep, good word for it. She looks at things, she takes them in, and she reflects them back. Yeah.
Spells them out very well.
She does.
Well, thank you again, Ali. Oh.
Now, Hatter, you said to me a number of weeks ago that Deb does a lot of heavy lifting in the background. She said again today, a lot of heavy lifting in the background, and we should do a poem together for her. Now, understanding that you're on enough drugs to go and, you know, lay down a decent-sized Indian elephant, I thought rather than trying to go backwards and forwards and doing a poem together, what I should do is go to one of your more recent poems and basically steal a whole heap of lines and put mine in. And so The Words I Will Never Say is the poem I went back to and had a look at. And the poem I put up on the board is for Deb, right, because she does all the heavy lifting around here. This is For Our Butterfly from You and Me, and it goes a little bit like this. Take the things that drowned my soul and let them breathe just one more time. Remember all those trials of late nights cold as this team began telling you 'twas mine. Share with me shows I wish to hear and friends' company know I believe. Then whisper as you draw me near, as memories of butterflies weave. Gardens bathed and colours beside must be tended by love and care, while every day it's you that's tried your silver spade into earth there. Smile when you think of us both over the days upon nights too long, and how always our poetry and growth left behind silence now filled with song. We wander through the thoughts of you, the same wings let us back ever high. found a piece of yesterday bathed in blue within periwinkle. We both continue to fly. End poem.
I could cry.
Yeah. Check that out. Thank you, AP.
It's got cadence, Hatter. It's got rhyme, even. God help me. That's what I do. But no. For Deb, because you know, as you rightly said, Hatter, you know, is that there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes and a lot of stuff, for want of a better word, that goes on behind the scenes, and you and I can sort of, you know, dance around and flutter about without having to get involved, and that Deb has to do all the stuff that none of us like to do, and he does it anyway with a smile. So thanks, Deb.
Yeah, she got her finger on the pulse of Blog Talk Radio.
She does.
Deborah.
She does. Very true.
We never say enough.
Speechless.
Much we love you. All right, stepdaughter.
No.
Well, that works.
I'm not stepped on. I'm speechless. And I, you know, I love the title. Every single word, every single line, the shape, the sentiment. I'm overwhelmed.
There we go. My job here is done, Hatter.
Well done.
Combined poem and, you know, we tick. You know, that's one off the list. We can say we've done that now.
I got a message. It's fairly old now. I was hoping, I think you did too, that
yes.
Evening Star is back around?
A little.
I didn't know that. Had it. Well, there you go. Well, welcome back. It was nice to have people back.
She's quietly slipping in.
Like a cold pair of football pants.
Well, that's not the analogy I would have made, Hatter, but that's okay. I'm sure she'll understand. So,
right. I meant it as a second session. If you do double summertime double sessions, double triple sessions.
No,
to take that off after the morning.
Yeah.
And put it back on. It's cold. It's wet.
No. I understand. I'm just, you know. Anyway. Okie doke. So, Deb, we have finished the show, I think, sort of, for this week. We are going to come back with bats, and they can be the sort of flying critters, or they can be the baseball bat, or in my case, of course, cricket bat. Because, you know, we don't do baseball down here. We do cricket. Yeah. So you who are English, Indian, Pakistani, Australian or New Zealand listeners, don't worry about the baseball bat. Just get the cricket bat. Yes. So when in doubt, you know, go for that. So...
And we will
of course have the second and concluding episode of Gonzo and his quite remarkable writing.
There might be five. So let's just say number two so far.
Oh, right. Okay. Crumbs. Okay. Even better. We might well be on a number of those poems, but. And if we are, that would be even better because they're fantastic. We have Bats, we have Gonzo, we have Deb, we have Hatter, we have me. Maybe Hatter on slightly less medication. I don't know, but we'll be here for Bats.
And we got AP's going to go have some Easter lunch with his family. Happy Easter!
I'm off to the Thai, Indonesian, and Malaysian fusion restaurant.
Oh, man. Video. More video.
Oh, no, it's great. No, it's great. I love Asian fusion stuff, Hatter. It's fantastic. Just fantastic. And just for the record, I have put a bat, a proper bat, a cricket bat, up on the board. For those of you Americans who may not know what a proper bat looks like, that is a proper bat.
That was like
a paddle.
Got no leg.
So, and you can see all the marks of the cricket ball on it, and that is hard, by the way. A cricket ball is made of leather and stuff, and is actually bruises you if you miss it.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw it was, ouch.
So, there you go. Oh, you love your cricket bat, Hatter. That's the last one I had. That was very nice, very, very nice bat. Nicely weighted. Okie doke. Well, to yourself, Hatter, thank you to Deb. Thank you to Wirral Gonzo, of course, for his wonderful piece. Thank you to Alex for putting her poem up on the board and for us for reading it. And we will be back after Easter, after a heavy dose of chocolate, for FAPS.
Now, my physical therapy starts next week, so I'm iffy how that's going to pan out by the end of the week. I'm going to be good and sore.
Well,
I'm more meds, I don't know.
Let us know.
We shall play by ear.
It could go either way. It could make you better, or it could make you slightly worse, or it could put you somewhere in between. Which is
you never know. You never know.
So we will be back next week, unless Hatter's physical therapy tells him that he's in one piece and has to avoid bats. So
just if it doesn't go, just doesn't go as planned, I'm going to be sore.
Well, let's just see.
I'm really sore.
Let's just. But plenty of things to talk
and
about.
And in
bats.
The meantime, Hatter, you need to give some thought to the fact that Friday, May the 13th, is a Hatter unbirthday coming up. So you got that to look forward to.
That's right.
Yeah, we could say
unbirthday. First of the year.
Yes. And we should say as well that we have the big competition for the year coming up, Deb, which is the Winter Park competition, which, of course, the team of Voices is a proud sponsor of. And this year, because they're highly sensible and know what they're doing, they have actually got you, Deb, as a judge, which I think is fantastic. So we have that to look forward to very, very soon. I think the paintings are about a week away, Deb. Is that right, for this year?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Kickoff is the 24th.
So that'll be a week away. So I'm pretty solid. I have my spot in the competition reserved, and I think it's always a competition that has at least a couple of hundred poets to write.
Can you do that?
So it's a pretty big deal, and might even go free verse this year, Deb. I might even adjust my thinking and go free verse.
24.
I know. I've been practicing some free verse, so we'll see how it goes.
Hatter, you should reserve so you can write this year.
Okay, where's my calendar?
I have to say, I'm totally honored to have been asked to judge, but I must say I'm kind of bummed that I'm not entering. It's the first time I won't be.
In what, 7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
7 or 8 years. So you know,
Deb,
I'll have to fly the flag, Deb. I'll have to get out there and actually do something decent this year. So we'll see how we go. But that it starts in a week's time. So, and sponsored by a team of voices, and it is the wonderful Mark Andrew J. Terry that is the name, the voice, and the legend behind that. And I think he will be on doing a show after it finishes. So
I was going to say, that was a perfect, That was a perfect segue because this year Mark is going to host the episode that features the winning poems from Winter Park. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. He's in charge.
Send me a link. Somebody send me a link.
Sorry, Hatter.
Hatter, I'll have it to you in just a second.
Somebody lend me a dime.
Oh, you're shit out of luck with that one.
Anyways, so putting all that to one side, I am going to get myself ready to go out for lunch here on Sunday because it's almost 1 in the afternoon. I know it's getting late Saturday night in the continental United States and Canada, but it is coming around to lunchtime here on Sunday. So I'm going to kick this gear off and end the episode, and we're going to come back for bats in a week's time.
Enjoy your Easter. Love and respect.
Thank you.
Hatter, look on the chat
Thank
wall.
You. Hatter, we'll talk next week, and I'm sure in between.
Absolutely. Love and respect, guys. Thank you so much for that amazing
Thank you. Game. Pleasure, Deb. And thanks, everybody, and we'll catch you back in a week's time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, AP.
Bye, Hatter. See you soon.